And the same unlimited basis took Shikshaguru Day, all Vishnu Fire and Jyotis and Shikshin and Shri Bhakti, Vedanta Nayaka Swami Maharaj, to all of our children and all these sons of the Before we begin, can I make a humble request that just as Guruji requests in this class, that we do a little musical chairs and have all the ladies on this side and all the men on this side, is that right? Sometimes we get to about it. So we continue our study of Sri Jiva Dharma. Not study, but anybody can call it out. Anusilana. Gurudev said, don't read, don't study, but do anusilana. That is, the constant cultivation of all endeavors with the body, mind, and words, and heart, under the guidance of Ashraya Tatva Krishna, that is Sri Guru, with the purpose of attaining Krishna. If the ladies like, you can all move a little more on that side, so if any of the men want to go, they can too. It's the first time, so it'll take a little while. And you can come forward if you like. So we've been contemplating the discussion between Brajamat and his uncle Vijay Kumar, their questioning of Brajamat's spiritual master, Sri Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasaya, in Srivasanga. So very auspicious place, very auspicious personalities, and he's inquiring about the ninth principle of Dasmul Shiksha. As you remember, and I'll go over it quickly because we did it a little more elaborately the other day, the 10 truths which were taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the fortunate jivas. That's stated in chapter 13 of Jiva Dharma. Every subsequent chapter contains the subsequent truth. So the first is, what is Praman? The body of Vedic literatures that comprise all the evidences, all the realities, and all the proofs of the realities. Those Vedic literatures that are coming down in simple succession, that are accepted by our Guru Parampara. The Vedic literatures and the corollaries to the Vedic literatures, which would then include the works of the Goswamis, which are in pursuance of Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures. So that's the Praman. And then there are nine Prameyas, or the established realities. The first being that Sri Hari Shamasundar is the supreme absolute truth. Number three, he's the reservoir. He possesses all powers. Number four, he's the embodiment of all relationships, rasas. Next, there are two kinds of living entities, not three, two kinds of living entities, and all living entities, whether they're manifest by Baladev, whether they're manifest by Mahasankarshan in the region between the material and spiritual world, whether they're manifest by Lord Narayan and Vaikuntha, wherever they're manifest, they're called Vivanansajeev. But those who are manifest originally in the spiritual world and were never here, and then later on chose to turn towards the spiritual realm, they're not called Vivanansajeevs here. You don't call the associates of Radharani or the associates of Baladev, any of the coward boys who are technically jivas, we don't call them Vivanansa jivas, but from the technical tattva point of view, for this study, there are two kinds of living entities, and whether they're manifest by Mahasakrishan here in the Tattvastha region or there, technically they're called Vivanansa jivas, because there's two kinds of Vivanansa jivas. The Nityamukta jiva, who eternally has been serving Krishna or Dwarkadish or Mataresh or Lord Narayan, and is so absorbed in that they have no idea what is Maya. And then the other kind is the Nityavada jiva. They have no idea about the spiritual realm. They only know this world. Those jivas who are manifested from the Tattvastha region and immediately, without coming to this world, decided by their independence to look towards the spiritual world, and then Yogamaya immediately took them, they are still under the category of Nityamukta jiva. So then they're both the Nityamukta jiva and the Nityavada jiva are both Vivanansa, which means they are infinitesimal, separated parts and parcels of Krishna. The next number, maybe six, the eternally liberated souls are never under the influence of matter, and the eternally conditioned souls are controlled by matter. Then number eight, the living entity and this material world are both simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead in many, many ways, one with and different from. For example, one with because they have no independent existence. For example, different from because although the jiva is one in quality, and the material energy is nothing but Krishna's energy, like my energy, one with me, can't be separated. Whether I'm angry or happy or jump for joy or furious, it's all one with me. So this is called the Jitya Veda Veda Tattva. Then number nine, the process to get out of the material world and to attain perfection is called Sadhana Bhakti. And that is the study of this chapter. It's called Prameya. Prameya means that truth or reality, which is evidenced in the body of Vedic literatures, which are accepted by our disciple succession. And so that is called, the process of sadhana is called abhideya, which means acting in the relationship, acting in the activities of one's relationship with Krishna in order to achieve the perfection. And then in number 10, the perfection, which is achieved by the performance of sadhana, is called priti or praying. These are the 10 instructions given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the fortunate jiva. So already in their conversation, their first conversation, Vijay Kumar is asking his nephew's spiritual master, Sri Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasaya, what is the process? What is, and the answer is Shuddha Bhakti. What is Shuddha Bhakti? Then, very elaborately, Anyabhilasa Pasunyam Gyana Kamadi Navratam, and he's explaining what each and every word means. Anukulyena, with a favorable mood. Anushilanam, under guidance of Ashraya Tattva, Sri Krishna, because there's two Krishnas. So every word is nicely explained. Then he asks, what are actually the six characteristics of bhakti? And then Babaji Maasai explains, these six kinds are, six characteristics, excuse me, and it's 2, 2, 2. Two characteristics manifest at the time of silent bhakti. The second two characteristics manifest at the time of bhava bhakti. And the third set of two characteristics manifest at the time of prema bhakti. In silent bhakti, the two characteristics are that bhakti destroys or relieves all distress. Number two, that bhakti awards all auspiciousness. And four main symptoms of auspiciousness that appear in the heart of the jiva at the time of sadhana bhakti is, anybody? From yesterday? Humility, compassion, absence of pride and a desire to be honored, and giving all honor to others. And then with that, as those four as the pillars, all those auspicious qualities come. Then, in the stage of bhava bhakti, two more characteristics manifest in the heart of the practitioner. Moksha lagu, laguta krit. That is, in the stage of bhava bhakti, when one feels real happiness, at that time, one can experience the happiness of impersonal liberation as insignificant as an atom in compared to an ocean. And sudurlabha. It's not so, of course, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Srila Rupa Goswami, there are so many 8,400,000 species of life. Human form of life is rare. 400,000 species. Of those, it's very rare to find anyone who's following the Vedic injunctions. Out of those, it's very rare to find one who's following the Vedic injunctions, not for the purpose of entering the heavenly planets and experiencing godly delights. Among those, it's very rare to find a follower of Varnashram Dharma. Among those, it's very rare to find a devotee of Narayan. And only the devotee of Narayan and the supreme Narayan, Krishna, is peaceful. No one else can be peaceful. So, within silent bhakti, devotion to Krishna or Lord Narayan, it's very rare for one to attain bhava bhakti. When sadhana bhakti is pure, then one advances very rapidly to bhava bhakti. The potential of bhava bhakti. Bhava bhakti exists in its potency in the practice of sadhana. Although bhava bhakti doesn't come out from outside, prema bhakti doesn't come from outside, and it's natural, until it's manifest, a certain process is required to bring it out. Almond oil is already in the almond. Can we say the almond oil comes from outside the almond? It comes from the almond. It's the intrinsic part of the almond. And without the almond oil, the almond would just be like dried up powder. Yet, in order to manifest that almond oil, there's a process of crushing the almond. Ghee is already in milk, but there's a process of boiling the butter, which comes from milk. In that way, the human being naturally walks, but still is a process. First the baby practices crawling, practices standing, holding on to things, and gradually his natural attitude comes. So in prema bhakti, the two ultimate characteristics of bhakti manifest, and that is that bhakti gives the supreme, unlimited, most intense pleasure. As we see in the examples of the residents of Vrindavan, and we can see in the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the ecstatic symptoms he manifested, the ecstatic symptoms of the gopis and the coward boys. And lastly, in prema bhakti, bhakti attracts Krishna. Not only Krishna, but all of Krishna's associates. When Radharani's maidservant is coming with Radharani, or coming ahead of Radharani, and Radharani is going to Nandabhavan to cook, Mother Yasoda is thinking even about the maidservant. Our brother speaking to the maidservant, "Would you like to marry my son?" "No, thank you." Everyone's attracted. Because the devotee has all these, the pure devotee has these four auspicious qualities in full. It's not that the prema bhakti doesn't have the first two characteristics. The first two characteristics begin to manifest in sadhana bhakti. But say, for example, humility or compassion, that doesn't really manifest in more fullness until one comes to bhava bhakti. It begins in sadhana bhakti, and then it manifests in its most fullest state in praying. Gurudev said pridelessness and praying are the same thing. For example, the coward boys could easily have killed Agasura themselves. No need for Krishna. For example, even the elderly gopis slapped Kamsa around because they said, "Who are you anyway? You can't make patties, cow dung patties. You can't do any of the services properly." And so they started beating his cheeks, slapping his cheeks, and he became petrified and begged, "Yogamaya, please get me out of here." He said, "You promise you'll never come back again?" "I promise, I promise." So she dipped him back into the well, and he came out as Kamsa and ran away. But still, they are prideless, and they just wait. They just see Krishna as their all in all. So, Vijay Kumar was inquiring from Babaji Mahasaya about each specific characteristic, and he was replying. So now, we're coming to new question. He's asking, what is the distinguishing characteristic of sadhana? What is sadhana?